Welcome to Reading Through Life. This is a weekly podcast by two best friends who have major dreams of living inside a library.
We fully believe that there's no better company than that towering pile of 73 unread novels that you have sitting on your nightstand.
And if we don't get the quiet time to dive face first into a book each day, we get really stabby.
Each week, you'll find a conversation around books and our very different tastes and styles on what we read. I'm Mia, and I'm more of a classic fantasy type of reader who truly believes that books are precious creatures to cherish.
And I'm Sarah, a rom-com family drama type of reader, and I totally dog-ear my books.
We're so glad you're here today. Let's get into the show.
Hello, lovely listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Reading Through Life. Today, we want to combine our love of books with our love of music, and we can't wait to chat about that in a bit. But first, as always, we have to start with our check-in. So Mia, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing okay, but I really miss my hubby because he is away for training for work and I'm a sad panda. But also when he goes away, and I feel like I've mentioned this before in another episode, but when he goes away, the boys and I have what we call rat fest. And so we just get to like lounge around all day in our PJs and watch movies. And then I don't feel like cooking like large meals. So we just scrounge for food like rats, and the kids will eat their Lunchables or ramen or whatever. And we just chill and eat junk food. And it's fun. And we have some of the silliest conversations. So I'm very sad that my hubby is away, but we are making the best of it. And I told my boys, this is their spring break. We're not having school this week. So don't come crying to me later when everybody's like out doing fun stuff. You guys have school.
You guys are doing Rat Fest right now instead.
Exactly.
Tell them though, what you told me about why you're so tired today.
Because I'm an idiot and I was watching really scary movies with my boys last night because that's what they wanted to watch. And so I was fine until like 1 a.m. when I was really tired and I wanted to go to sleep. And then I kept hearing noises, which I'm in a campground and there's like 1,000 people that live here. So of course you're going to hear noises, but like I would start to drift off and I would hear something and be like, oh my God, what was that? There's obviously a ghost in my RV right this minute.
So that is the downside of Rat Fest.
Yes. And I know better, but I did it anyway. So it's my own fault.
Yes. I also need to know, how was your birthday?
It was very lovely. I got to eat some really good food. And a few days before that, my mom had come to visit. So that was kind of like her seeing me for my birthday. And then we went shopping and I bought some shoes. And I was supposed to go to the indie bookstore, but I'm a dum-dum and didn't look at their hours. And they're only open at so many hours per day. So they were closed. But I did get to go to the bookstore on like Saturday, the other day. So I got to go and check it out and buy some books. So it was lovely.
Yay. For me, I have nothing exciting to report other than swim is finally done for, you know, like a month and a half. But Henry had districts and did so, so good. He dropped time in his individual events. His relay team got on the podium. Like it was so much fun. It was a great way to end swim season. And so now we get a little bit of a break, which is really nice because we get to come home after school and like not have anywhere to go 4 days a week. And we don't have anywhere to go on weekends. And it's just very relaxing. And so we get to do that until they have stroke clinic, which I think is usually in like late April or so. And then summer swim will start, but we get to relax for right now for a little bit. So yeah.
So speaking of birthdays, yours is coming up soon as we're recording this. What are your plans for your birthday?
So I took the day off of work and I booked myself a 90-minute massage, which I was like, yes, I'm gonna need that. And then I'm gonna take myself to the bookstore. I think my husband also took the day off. So he said that he was gonna take the kids to school. He was gonna pick the kids up from school so that like I didn't have to do any of that. And then he and I got a hotel room in Pittsburgh for the night so that we could just like hang out and wander the city and eat good food. And yeah, it's gonna be exciting. It's not a lot to do. Like kind of like you said, like 41 is not all that exciting. Compared to last year?
One of our friends and listeners, Eunice, when I had posted that 41 felt kind of blah, she's like, no, you're in your prime. This is a prime year because 41 is a prime number. I was like, oh, that's a good way of looking at it.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess that makes it a little bit better.
All right, then. So would you like to share something bookish with the peoples?
So I want to tell you about a book that I have not read yet, but I'm very interested in reading. And I originally heard about the story on the This Is Love podcast from February 2018. And the podcast episode was called Something Large and Wild. But the book is called Grayson by Lynn Cox. And here's the setup. It was the dark of early morning. 17-year-old Lynn Cox was swimming her last half mile back to the pier after a long workout when she became aware that something was swimming with her. The ocean was charged with energy as if a squall was moving in. Whatever it was felt large enough to be a white shark coursing beneath her body. In fact, it was a baby gray whale. Lynn quickly realized that if she swam back to the pier, the young calf would follow her to shore and die from collapsed lungs. On the other hand, if Lynn didn't find the mother whale, the baby would suffer from dehydration and starve to death. Something so enormous, the mother whale would be at least 50 feet long, suddenly seemed very small in the vast Pacific Ocean. So I absolutely loved listening to this episode of the podcast. And I'll link to that in the show notes too. But I just found this absolutely fascinating. Apparently, it's all completely true. And so I'm really excited to actually read this book by her. She also has a couple of other books because was one of the youngest swimmers to ever swim some sort of something or other. I know I'm very specific about this, but I'm just very interested in people who do like these enormous feats like climbing Mount Everest or swimming vast amount of miles and things like that. So I'm very interested in reading this book and some other books by her. So this one is called Grayson by Lynn Cox.
All right, so I saw that you shared a book, so I wanted to share one too. And this one is called A Head Full of Ghosts by Paul Tremblay. This is about the Barrett family. They're a normal suburban New England family, but they are torn apart when their 14-year-old daughter, Marjorie, begins to display signs of acute schizophrenia. And to their despair, the doctors are unable to stop her descent into madness. And as their home devolves into a house of horrors, they reluctantly turn to a local Catholic priest for help. And Father Wanda Lee suggests an exorcism because he believes she's the victim of demonic possession. He also contacts a production company that is eager to document their plight. And so with John, Marjorie's father, out of work for more than a year and their medical bills looming, the family agrees to be filmed, and they soon find themselves the unwitting stars of The Possession, a hit reality TV show. And when events in the Barrett house explode in tragedy, the show and the shocking incidents it captures become the stuff of urban legend. And so I picked this book up at my local indie bookstore the other day, like I mentioned, and technically Sarah bought it for me because she sent me some book birthday Monday for my birthday. So I'm excited to read it, even though it is about demonic possession, which if you've ever listened to the show, you know, freaks me out. But the cashier said that he had read it recently. And so I asked him if he liked it. And he said, quote, "It wasn't what I expected," but he said it with a really big smile. So I'm intrigued. I don't know what that means. And also, obviously, a glutton for punishment because I watch scary movies and then I read books about demonic possession. So there's no hope for me. There's no hope.
No.
And so that is A Head Full of Ghosts by Paul Tremblay.
All right. So before we get started, we would also like to do a little shout out about our Reading Through Life Substack. When you subscribe, you're going to get show notes in your inbox every week, totally free. And starting this month, we're going to be sharing some bonus posts here and there. So don't forget to join us at readingthroughlife.substack.com or click the link in our show notes.
Okay. So now that we've taken care of all that bookish business, let's talk about books and music. Sarah, what is your favorite kind of music to listen to? And maybe tell us a few of your favorite music artists.
So Foo Fighters, first and foremost, that's all I got to say. That's like, I love them. They are my favorite. I would marry Dave Grohl if I could. I also want to say that I really like Harry Styles music, and not just because he's hot. I know what you guys are thinking, but I actually think that he's a really great songwriter. And I just like his music just makes me smile, as does he. But also like Arcade Fire, Death Cab for Cutie. I'm really kind of like an alternative rock person. If you are a SiriusXM subscriber, I listen to like Alt Nation and Lithium the most. Those are like my two favorites, but also 90s everything, 90s hip hop, 90s pop, 90s rock, not 90s country. I listen to everything that is not country, but other than that, 90s give me everything.
So I love country music, especially 90s country, but I agree with you, 90s everything. I love 90s pop, R&B, rock, all of that. I would say some of my favorite artists are Eric Church, Brooks and Dunn, Dolly Parton, The Cranberries, Stone Temple Pilots, so many more. I feel like if you could just take us back to the 90s, maybe not so much like the pencil thin eyebrows, because that was a horrible trend, but everything else, it was a good time.
It really was. So do you like reading books about music? And do you think that music lends itself well as a topic for books?
I love reading books about music. I have always been a huge music fan, and I can remember like when I was growing up, just being in my room for hours listening to music, curating these playlists for myself and making mixtapes because I was super emo and moody. And I also really do like reading nonfiction books about music, especially musician memoirs, because I feel like they can offer insight into what inspired certain songs or lyrics, and I love like the behind the scenes of that. What about you?
I don't know that I would say that I seek them out, but I definitely don't mind them when they come up. I think I'd much prefer to read about music than I would say like food. I think that the dynamics of a band can be a really interesting topic for a book because there's oftentimes just like a lot of drama, which you guys know that I am always here for.
So, do you listen to music when you read, or do you prefer silence?
I cannot read and listen to music. I will start singing along, and the next thing I know, I'm in like a full-on dance party with myself because I love music so much. And so absolutely no music. I would love to read in silence, but is that actually a realistic thing? Can people actually do that? Because I cannot.
Yeah, I can't listen to music either unless it's instrumental, but even then I have to turn it down really low so where I can like barely hear it. I don't know. I think my mind just gets caught up in like the notes and stuff, and I can't focus on the reading when there's music on.
Yeah. So here's a good one. If you could write a song about me, what would be the title?
I mean, obviously it would be called Sweet Sugar Shoulders.
Boop, boop. Do you ever wonder if people that are listening to this are like, why do they keep talking about Sarah's shoulders?
I feel like your next Instagram post will be a picture of your shoulders just so everyone can see them.
That, yeah. They're really nothing special, you guys. Do you know that song, Sarah Smile?
No, I've
It's
heard
like
it.
from the 80s or something like that. I'm not going to sing it for you guys. I'm sorry because it would be horrific, but maybe it should be changed to Sarah's Shoulders.
Yes, I like it. I'm going to rewrite all the lyrics.
If I was going to write a song about you, it would be called I've Got Eggplants in the Basket. I don't know why, but that is the first thing that comes to my mind.
I love it. So, guys, you picture Sarah. I'm walking next to her. She's got her shoulders out, and I'm carrying a big basket of eggplants.
Yes. All right.
I
Hopefully,
love
people have
it.
not tuned off after this.
Right. So, should we share some books about music that we love? Let's go ahead and start with some fiction books.
All right, so the first one that I have is a very obvious choice, and it's Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid. If you don't already know about this one, if you've been living under a rock, it's about a fictional band that feels incredibly real from the 70s and the turbulence behind the scenes, especially between D Daisy Jones and Billy Dunn and the massive breakup that took place. This was written in interview style, which I think at the time was a really unique premise, and you can get completely lost in the story. I remember the first time that I read it, I researched to figure out who the band was based on because it just felt like I was reading about an actual band, and I was like, this has got to be an actual band, right? But obviously, this has now also been turned into a TV show, and I think that it was actually really well done too. I think it was a really good adaptation of it. So this one is Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
All right, I've got another Taylor Jenkins Reid book, and this is Malibu Rising. It takes place in 1983, and there's like this, annual end of summer party by the Riva family here. And so everyone's excited, they want to be around them. There's Nina, the talented surfer and supermodel. There are brothers Jay and Hud, who's a championship surfer, the other a photographer, and then their adored baby sister Kit, who's also a photographer. And so they are a source of fascination in Malibu the world over because they are the offspring of the legendary singer Mick Riva. By midnight, their party will be completely out of control and the mansion will have gone up in flames. And so, what I liked about this book was that you kind of get to see a little bit of the negative side of music because they're all, children of this really famous guy, but he's kind of a jerk and he pretty much runs out on them and they don't really grow up with him at all. And they have to live with his kind of shadow over their lives. And so it's really interesting. And that is Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
The next one I have is called The Final Revival of Opal and Nev by Donnie Walton. I read this one because I knew that it was similar to Daisy Jones. And this again is about a band rising to fame in the 70s, but this time it's about an interracial rock duo. Like Daisy Jones, it talks about the spectacular demise of the two, but here we are also looking at a potential reunion tour. This book has a lot to say about race, especially during the time that Opal and Nev were gaining popularity. And so it's like a much darker, harsher version of Daisy Jones, and I really loved it. So this one is The Final Revival of Opal and Nev by Donnie Walton.
Next one I have is The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto by Mitch Albom. It's about obviously Frankie Presto, who was the greatest guitar player who ever lived. And also, it's about the six lives that he changed with his six magical blue guitar strings. And so, when he was born in a burning church, he was abandoned as an infant, and he was raised by a music teacher in a small town until war rips his life apart. And so, at 9 years old, he's sent to America, and his only possession is an old guitar and those six strings. His journey takes him to the magical landscape of the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. And he plays alongside numerous stars like Duke Ellington, Hank Williams, and Elvis Presley. And then he becomes a pop star himself. He makes records. He's adored by everyone. But his gift is also his burden as he realizes the power of the strings that his teacher gave him and how, through his music, he can actually affect people's lives. This book was so sad but beautiful. It had me crying buckets. It's just, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, even just reading that blurb, I'm like, that's not really what the book is about. But I don't know what it is about. It's just beautiful. Just go read it. And that is The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto by Mitch Albom.
Right, the next one I have is a holiday book, and so maybe this could be put on your list. I know it's a long way away from now, but it's called Wreck the Halls by Tessa Bailey. Trina and Octavia were the female rock duo, and Steelbirds was a cultural phenomenon until they broke up, and no one knows why, but a suspected love triangle is at play. Their kids, Beat and Melody, have been brought together to see if they can convince their mothers to take the stage together once again. Beat and Melody are soon to realize that out of the entire world, they understand each other like no one else and wonder how to navigate their growing relationship while trying to get their mothers to reconnect. So this book focuses more on Beat and Melody than on what happened between Trina and Octavia, but even so, the glimpses that we got into their rock star lifestyle were really, really fun to read about. So this one is Wreck the Halls by Tessa Bailey.
The next one is called Run, Rose, Run by Dolly Parton and James Patterson. This is a thriller about a young singer-songwriter on the rise and also on the run, and she's determined to do whatever it takes to survive. She's trying to leave this hard life behind her. She's trying to find her future, and she's trying to make a name for herself. And Nashville is where she's come to claim her destiny. It's also where the darkness that she's fled might find her. So this was written by Dolly Parton. I feel like I don't need to say anything else because I love Dolly Parton, but I will say that the thriller part of this story wasn't what made it compelling. I really love reading about the music portion of it in Nashville, and there are other rising country stars alongside her, and just reading about that was really interesting. So that is Run, Rose, Run by Dolly Parton and James Patterson.
Next one I have is called Charm City Rocks by Matthew Norman. Billy grew up having a crush on Margot Hammer, the drummer of girl rock band Burnt Flowers. And when his son Caleb learns this, he cooks up a plan to introduce the two of them now that Margot is no longer in the limelight. Caleb is convinced the two of them might just be happy together, and that's all he wants for his dad to be happy. But Margot and Billy, they come with a lot of baggage between the two of them, past loves and careers, to name just a couple. And I always love a celebrity normal person romance, but this one told from a man's perspective was a different twist than what I normally read, so I really enjoyed that one a lot. And it's called Charm City Rocks by Matthew Norman.
My next one is called Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. And this one is also kind of a climate fiction book, but it also has some musical elements to it. And it's about one snowy night when this famous Hollywood actor slumps over and he dies on stage during production of King Lear. Hours later, the world as we know it begins to dissolve. And then the story takes us back and forth in time from that actor's early days as a film star to 15 years in the future, when a theater troupe known as the Traveling Symphony roams the wasteland of what remains. And this symphony is a troupe that's dedicated to saving music in the midst of this kind of plague or whatever is going on in the story, which I thought was interesting because I feel like if the world is ending, to put a priority on trying to save music and art and things like that is a very interesting notion. So that is Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel.
Next, I have The Violin Conspiracy by Brendan Slocum. Ray McMillan's life is going really well. He's just entered the Tchaikovsky competition, which is basically the Olympics of classical music, when his incredibly rare, incredibly valuable Stradivarius violin that he inherited from his great-great-grandfather is stolen from his hotel room. From there, we learn about all of those who have a motive to want to take it from him. This book flashes back and forth between present day as Ray is in a race to find his priceless violin and his early days of trying to make a name for himself as one of the only Black classical musicians. Because I know absolutely nothing about classical music, I was really excited to give this one a try, and it definitely didn't disappoint. The mystery at the center wasn't really what sold me, though, like I'm not a mystery reader, but instead it was the weaving in of the author's own experiences and the commentary on race and this industry that has really stayed with me. So this one is The Violin Conspiracy by Brendan Slocum.
Right, my last fiction book I have for you is called The Last Song by Nicholas Sparks. 17-year-old Ronnie Miller's life was turned upside down when her parents divorced and her father moved from New York City to Wilmington, North Carolina. 3 years later, she's still angry. She's alienated from both her parents, especially her father, until her mom decides it would be in everyone's best interest if she spent the summer in Wilmington with her father. Her father is a former concert pianist and a teacher, and he's living a quiet life in the town. He's immersed in creating a work of art that will become the centerpiece of a local church. Ronnie hasn't played the piano since the divorce and has not forgotten her father for leaving them. Can they come together for one last song? And this book was actually adapted into a movie, and that's where Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth met and started their like love affair. And the movie is just as good as the book, so I recommend watching that as well. And that is The Last Song by Nicholas Sparks.
All right, I have two more fiction books that I haven't read yet, but that they are on my shelves, so I wanted to quickly mention those two. The first one is called Modern Lovers by Emma Straub. Friends and former college bandmates Elizabeth and Andrew and Zoe have watched one another marry, buy real estate, and start businesses and families, all while trying to hold on to the identities of their youth. But nothing ages them like having to suddenly pass the torch of sexuality, independence, and the alchemy of cool to their own offspring. The summer that their children reach maturity and start sleeping together, the fabric of their adult lives suddenly begins to unravel, and the secrets and revelations that are finally let loose can never be reclaimed. So that one is Modern Lovers by Emma Straub. And then lastly, The Breakup Tour by Emily Wibberly and Austin Sigmund Broca. Riley Wynn went from a promising singer-songwriter to a superstar overnight thanks to her breakup song concept album and his unforgettable lead single. When Riley's ex-husband claims the hit song is about him, she does something she hasn't in 10 years and calls Max Harcourt, her college boyfriend, and the real inspiration for the song of the summer. When Riley asks him to go public as her songwriting muse, he agrees on one condition: he'll join her band on tour. As they perform across the country, Max and Riley start to realize that while they hit some wrong notes in the past, their future could hold incredible things. And this one is called The Breakup Tour by Emily Wibberly and Austin Sigmund Broca. So how about some nonfiction books about music or music artists?
The first one I have actually read quite some time ago, and it's called The Beautiful Ones by Prince. And this is the story of how Prince became Prince. It gives a first-person account of a kid absorbing the world around him and then creating this persona, this artistic vision, and a life before the hits and the fame that would come to define him. And I feel like Prince was such a mysterious and complex and interesting artist, and I really loved getting this look into his storied life. He actually started writing this memoir right before his death, and so the editor of the book had to come in and kind of finish it up for him and add in some other biographical pieces, but it was really interesting. And that is The Beautiful Ones by Prince.
My first one is The Storyteller, Tales of Life and Music by Dave Grohl. As I mentioned at the top, the Foo Fighters are my favorite band, so of course I had to read Dave Grohl's memoir. First of all, there is something so tactile about the physical book, like the cover and the pages just feel really lush and different. I don't know what it is about it, but it feels really nice. I also had this one on audio because I knew that I would want to hear his story in his voice, and it definitely didn't disappoint. Plus, there is music interspersed between the chapters, which I absolutely loved. Dave talks about his life growing up and getting into music, being a huge part of Nirvana, and eventually moving into creating the Foo Fighters. And for a fan like me, it was absolutely excellent. I loved it. So this is The Storyteller, Tales of Life and Music by Dave Grohl.
My next one is Dolly Parton's Songteller, My Life in Lyrics by Dolly Parton. And this book explores her remarkable life and her lyrics. And so she tells it in her own words, and it explores all the songs that have defined Dolly Parton's journey. She is mining over 60 years of songwriting, and she highlights 175 of her songs and brings readers behind the lyrics. This memoir reveals the stories and memories that have made Dolly a beloved icon across the generations. And I just love her. She's just like a gentle, kind soul. She's very funny, and her songs just like withstand the test of time. So I loved reading about her life. And this is Dolly Parton's Songteller, My Life in Lyrics by Dolly Parton.
Okay, the last one I have is called Open Book by Jessica Simpson. If you grew up in the 90s and early 2000s like me, then you will know all of the main players in this book. But reading Jessica Simpson's memoir really surprised me. It's really, really well written and is actually a standard that I hold other musicians' memoirs up against now. She gives all kinds of juicy details that I never knew, and hearing her talk about the ups and downs that she went through, both in the spotlight and out of it, made my heart ache for her. I read this one, but I also heard that it's really incredible on audio. So I actually am kind of thinking about rereading it and listening to it just so that I can hear that. So this one is Open Book by Jessica Simpson.
All right, my next one is Scar Tissue by Anthony Kiedis, and he is the lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. In this memoir, Anthony is recollecting the influence of the beautiful, strong women who have been his muses and retracing a journey filled with diverse performances and also sharing a compelling story about the price of success and excess. And so in his memoir, he goes through how the Red Hot Chili Peppers came together. He talks about some of the songwriting that they did. He talks about, his early relationships that were kind of some that were hidden, some that were in public. Like, I know he dated Sinead O'Connor back in the day. And it was just really interesting to read about that because I know their songs and I like them, but I didn't really know much about him or his life. So this is Scar Tissue by Anthony Kiedis. All right. So before we go, Sarah, I have a musical joke for you. Are you ready?
I'd guess.
Right. What do you call a cow that plays guitar?
What?
A musician.
All right. On that note, I think it's time to go. I'm gonna go put me in a bed. We are wishing you guys 5-star book vibes. Bye. Thanks for checking out this episode of the podcast. And now is the time we ask you for a super quick favor.
Will you take a screenshot now, like right now, of this episode and share it with a friend or on social media? We can't begin to explain how much your shares help us find other book nerds.
Plus, isn't life just better with more book friends in your life?
We're sending you virtual hugs and 5-star book vibes.
Talk to you soon.